Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the MTS Center press box high above the ice at the MTS Center. This is the Illegal Curve post-game podcast where the Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the New Jersey Devils by a 3-1 margin. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined up in the press box by producer Remus and my co-analyst, Richard Pollock. Richard, a Jets win that sort of was a dull game, I would say, for the first almost 50 minutes of the game. The Jets, to my perspective, were outplayed for the majority of the game, but yet they managed to persevere, and in the last 10 minutes, they were the better of the two teams, and they ended up winning 3-1.
I thought it's a pretty apt summation of the game, Drew. You know, it was kind of a neutral zone game with few shots through two periods, and you know, the Jets saw an opportunity and took advantage of it, and that's what you have to do. I mean, there's been games where the Jets have done the opposite. They've kind of sleepwalking through the first two periods, and then they don't take advantage in the third. And you have a team in New Jersey; they're playing the only game really out of their time zone all year. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, it's a team that is to me beatable and plays really well as a team, but is beatable. And they're coming into your home barn. You just went 4-1 on a road trip, and you're feeling good about yourself. And I think that's a factor too—that confidence factor. And they took advantage. And hey, the Jets are 5-1 in their last six, tied for first in the division with Carolina. And you look at their schedule, you know, as compared to some other teams in the East, teams in other divisions, and it's pretty easy.
Sure, the next four games are all against teams that are lower than them in the standings. I mean, you have Washington Saturday afternoon. Washington, their struggles have been well documented this year. Then next week you go on your Florida road trip where you play Florida, Tampa, Florida. You look at that, and of those games, you would think, okay, if you're gonna gag one, it might be the Tampa Bay game. But the other three games are all quite winnable, and the Tampa Bay game is winnable in and of itself.
Yep, I mean, the opportunities are certainly there for this team, especially the way they're playing right now. And getting, I think the key though, Drew, I really do think the key at the end of the day is the goaltending,
mm-hmm. And it's been good.
Yeah.
Andre Pavlik was very sharp again tonight. He was the second star in tonight's game, and he only, you know, had to make 20. Sorry,
second star. You picked the stars.
Yeah. So, what's your point?
Yeah.
You know, he made New Jersey had 23 shots, so Pavlik made 22 saves, and you know they weren't all tremendously difficult, but there were a lot of tipped pucks that his reflexes were very sharp on.
I thought he looked really good. Yeah, 22 shots, you said?
Yeah, 22 saves he had.
22 saves, 23 shots, 22 saves. I thought they were actually more difficult than, you know, maybe than a 35-shot game with a couple of chances. There was a lot of tips, as you mentioned. There were a few point-blank chances. You know, Kovalchuk near the end of the game there,
yeah,
on the top of the right circle going left to right. He looked really sharp. I thought the rebounds, aside from one or two, were pretty solid rebound control. And, you know, he covered the puck when he ought to have, and I was impressed, composed, and
he's a goaltender playing with confidence, as opposed to what you saw, you know, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, which was a goaltender fighting the puck at every opportunity. But ever since the Buffalo game, which is now, you know, over, what is that, a week ago, about 10 days ago now? It was last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So ever since that game, this is a team and a goaltender that they're playing big. He feels confident in that net. Nothing's going to get past me for the most part. And you know, when one does get past him, he gets angry and wants to bounce back, as opposed to shrinking from the moment.
Jets, I think, are also doing a better job of not running around as much.
Mm-hmm.
They still do run around an awful lot for an NHL team, but they don't run around as much as they were, say, 2-3 weeks ago when they looked like chickens with their heads cut off. So I think that's a factor as well. And, you know, they play off each other. He plays better, and the team feels like, you know, like the team feels like, okay, what we're doing is working. We're going to continue to buy in more defensively. It's, you know, it's the classic. You listen to the coach when you're winning. When you're losing, you wonder if he knows what he's doing, but you're part of that problem or solution. So it's a catch-22, but I do think that, as you mentioned earlier, his confidence is certainly on the upswing, and that's very important.
Power play still atrocious. They had a 5-on-3 opportunity today that for part of it was almost 5-on-2 after the Devils player broke his stick. Just nothing generating on that power play whatsoever.
You have to wonder, Drew, why Olli Jokinen's at the point on the power play when he's not a very good passer. I wouldn't have him there, and I realize they don't have Enstrom, and I realize that would be a place where they'd have Enstrom. But they have to be able to put somebody. That's actually the Jets' biggest hole. We don't talk about it enough in terms of forwards, especially passing ability.
Mm-hmm.
And who's their best passer at forward?
Wheeler.
and he's not really naturally quick with the puck.
Yeah.
He needs to have it on a stick and kind of make a play. So you think about it that way, and who do they have to be there aside from Enstrom, who's a great passer? Well, you know, Bogosian, or then it's Byfuglien. But if you're playing two guys at the point on the power play, 5-on-3 or 5-on-4, the question then is, you know, what about who else with Byfuglien? And I don't know if there's anybody who can do it. So that is a shortcoming that I'm sure the Jets will eventually attempt to address.
Yeah, absolutely. But for now, you play what the hand you've been given, and the mm-hmm. power play struggling, penalty kill improved again. They went 4-for-4 in killing off penalties, so they have improved in that facet. Now, New Jersey's power play wasn't anything to write home about. Their setup was a little odd, but you know, still get full marks for being able to defeat your opponent when you're shorthanded.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's start with our goal breakdown. The Jets opened the scoring 8 seconds into the game, and that, I believe, ties the club record that Kyle Wellwood set last year in that Pittsburgh game, the Jets' first win. 8 seconds into the game, Andrew Ladd gets a goal, assists to Brian Little and Zach Bogosian. Just really a bizarre play by the Devils defenseman. Nobody fell down. They just sort of miscalculated how they were going to play the puck and play the player. Tremendous defensive breakdown, and Ladd came in, pretty much had a breakaway from the blue line in.
Yeah, that's what happened, Drew. Zielinski kind of pinched on the play, part of their neutral zone formation, and I don't know if I think it might have been a forward, he didn't back him up, or he made a misread. In any event, Ladd came in, there's nobody around him, and he made a nice deke, and he kind of took the puck to his backhand and put it, slid it right under Hedberg, and you know, the 1-0 lead, allowing you first of all, you haven't played well at home.
Right.
It immediately takes pressure off the backs of the Jets. And with that, of course, gives them confidence. And I thought that was a very fortunate play, and, you know, give him credit.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Ladd takes advantage of that, right? You don't take advantage of it, the game may change.
That's exactly right. It was 1-0, 8 seconds in. But, you know, the rest of the period, the Jets, I thought, were on their heels for the most part. You know, I thought, you know, it was
60-40.
It was a dull period. You're right. Yeah. It wasn't overwhelming. It was a dull period more than anything.
Yeah.
But I thought New Jersey sort of took the play to them a little bit more than the Jets did to New Jersey. The Devils were able to tie the game at the 3:05 mark of the second period. Andrei Loktionov gets the goal, assist to Alexei Ponikarovsky and Henrik Talander. Streaking down the right-hand side is Loktionov, really from the blue line. He beats Ron Hainsey clean. Hainsey looks like he's almost not unsure of how to approach Loktionov in that sense. Gets beat wide, Loktionov faster than Hainsey. And then he's able to put a 5-hole on Andrei Pavlik, I believe.
Yeah, Hainsey lost him by about a half a step, and then what happened was Loktionov beat him, and then when Hainsey tried to square up, Loktionov put the puck kind of in Hainsey's feet, took a quick wrist shot, and went in. And a nice play, a really nice play, and give him credit. Loktionov, a guy who just got his opportunity coming over from L.A.
Yeah, that's right.
Created something for himself there and put the Devils on the board, and that was their only marker.
Exactly right. At that point in time, you know, the rest of the second period, there wasn't much action, and all the way into, you know, the third period, the halfway through the third period, you know, each team had a couple scoring chances. I'd say New Jersey probably had the better of the scoring chances, but as we mentioned, Andrei Pavlik was played very big. He made the saves, some key saves, not overwhelming saves, but some key saves for the Jets, and he was able to keep them in it while they were sort of struggling to really find their legs at that point.
You mentioned earlier, I thought the tips were the key saves.
Mm-hmm.
Those point shots. You know, hey, he was letting those in earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And he's seeing those clearly today, and the tips, and when you see the puck clearly, those tips that seem so difficult to save, which they are less difficult because the puck is just slower. It's like, you know, it's the idea of baseball player sees a bigger ball and a basketball player sees a huge hoop. It's the same idea.
Yeah, when you're in the zone and you have confidence, everything is a little bit easier than than, you know, when you're struggling. Obviously, that's not insightful or anything, but it's just the fact of the matter. The Jets were able to get the game, what ended up being the game-winning goal from the stick of Andrew Ladd at the 11:59 mark of the third period. It's a 4-on-4 situation as Nick Antropov gets a cross-checking penalty and Steve Bernier goes off for embellishment. So even though they both take a penalty at the same time, because they're not the same penalty, it becomes a 4-on-4 situation as opposed to an offsetting penalty situation.
I'm one who doesn't buy that there would have been one call and not the other. I think that the cross check and dive were called together, and if there was no dive, there wouldn't have been a cross check call. That's how I saw it.
So, would you rather the refs in that situation just let it go, or you're okay with them taking both guys?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, so it's a 4-on-4 situation. Ton of ice out there. Really, right off the face off, Dustin Byfuglien shows what Byfuglien can do more than anything.
I'm gonna step in because the play actually Byfuglien sets up behind the net.
It starts behind the Jets' own net.
But the key is this. The key is that Adam Henrique pursues Byfuglien behind the net. Most teams, 26, 27 teams, maybe more, won't ever pursue behind the net. The Devils, with Henrique being a good skater, decide to pursue behind the net. I don't know if that was an edict from above or whatever it may be. But Henrique pursues Byfuglien, pursues him from left, goes left around the net to pursue him right. Byfuglien just pulls the puck around the net. And Byfuglien's a good skater, big guy, but great, really good skater. And Henrique loses a step or two, and Byfuglien pulls it around the net. Henrique chases him the whole way, and he never regains the step. So Byfuglien takes the puck up the ice, goes wide on Andy Green, who's not a big guy and certainly can't use his size against Byfuglien. Byfuglien is hard to defend on anybody, yeah. But Green, not a long stick, not a big guy. Byfuglien goes right around him, right around the opposing net, and then he swings the puck on the weak side, or it becomes a strong side. And Ladd's right there, and Marek Zielicki, who kind of blew the first play, it appeared, kind of does a flyby on the net. Ladd just, and there's a forward pressuring Ladd from behind, but nobody's really there. And Ladd just puts it right in the net into an open cage. And if you're looking at it from Winnipeg's perspective, it's a Byfuglien. It's all Byfuglien.
Yeah.
Ladd going to the net, credit where credit's due, but Byfuglien makes the goal. Nice. And you can see it by the reaction. Usually when you see a goal in the National Hockey League, everybody goes to the guy who scored. On this play, even Ladd, they all went to Byfuglien.
Well, it's a play that really, there's very few defensemen in the league that can make this play.
Very few
players in the league who can make this play. Literally from his own, behind his own net. And when you felt a buzz in the arena as you saw him making the rush. Mm-hmm. And as he hit his own blue line, he then cuts it out to the right, and he's just taking it all the way around the boards. And he just takes it, like you said, right around the defenseman, right around the goal, tries the wraparound. Nobody really picks up Ladd, like you said. Mm-hmm. They're covering a whole lot of invisible guys. And it's a dirty goal by Ladd, but he's been great at those dirty goals this year. And that's, he just jams it in past Hedberg.
They all
count.
Nothing
Hedberg could do. They all count, exactly right. And it's just such a dynamic play by Dustin Byfuglien that it just shows you, why he's such a special player for the Winnipeg Jets, and for any team in the NHL would be glad to have him on the roster. That makes it 2-1 for the Jets. Rest of the game, New Jersey had some scoring chances, nothing tremendous, but Pavlik came up big when he needed to. Just made the solid saves. Jets were pretty good at locking it down, keeping everything to the outside for the most part. Just a smart last, 8 minutes of the game by the Jets. They end up scoring at the 19:22 mark, an empty netter. Sort of the plays down by the blue line in the Jets' own zone. What you have there is another smart play by Andrew Ladd, a good defensive play. Mm-hmm. Chips the puck out to Blake Wheeler. Blake Wheeler is sort of in a one-on-one situation. Takes it wide on the defenseman.
Just smart. Some players like to shoot it and it hits a leg and it bounces back. He goes wide on him and he just puts it in.
That's right. He plays wide and uses his size and the space that he has, and he puts it into the empty net. A 3-1 Jets final, as we mentioned. And really just, a game that the Jets weren't terrific the whole time, but they ended up finding a way how to win, and a game you have to win on home ice. And this crowd was in it. There was a lot of chatter before they went on the road trip about the crowd and everything else, and I said to you off air more than once, score a couple goals, be in the game, this crowd will be in it. This crowd was in it from the start. They were doing the wave, the tons of go Jets go, getting on Hedberg. This was a crowd from last year. But the Jets played a home game like last year.
I don't buy the whole the Jets fans or bandwagon. I don't really buy that.
No,
you talk about, the Jets fans weren't up for the past couple of games. Well, when the Jets left here last week or a week and a half ago, they were in second last or last place in the entire league. What was there to cheer? You don't cheer nothing. You have to bring them.
If the players bring the effort, the fans will bring the effort.
Exactly.
And it's on the players to start it. The fans, the fans cheer like they always do for the national anthems and before the game starts. And then, then it's up to the players to do something to get the fans excited. And the Jets successfully did so today.
Rich.
The crowd was in it, the wave, the whole nine yards. Everybody was excited. A great win for the Jets. And now they have to build on it like they've done. What is this, 5 of their last 6?
That's 5 of 6.
5 of 6, yeah. And they have a division rival in Washington coming into town a Saturday afternoon. Another opportunity, really, for the Jets to it's early, but you can almost say that they can put another nail in the Capitals' coffin with a win on Saturday. The Capitals haven't shown any signs of life.
They haven't, so a game you got to have.
That's right. A game where you look at the opponent and say, we are better than this team.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
whether or not you are on paper is irrelevant. The way you've been playing, you are, and you got to take advantage of it for one more time before you're back on the road for three more. Should be fun. We'll talk about it on Saturday morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That'll get underway 8 a.m. on TSN 1290. Our guests are Joe Beninati. He is the voice of the Washington Capitals. Pat Hickey of the Montreal Gazette is going to join us to talk about the Montreal Canadiens after their tremendous start. And Jeremy Weiss, who really does some video breakdowns, and is going to break down the Jets' power play for us. And we'll talk about why those struggles have continued. We remind you, follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. For my colleague, Richard Pollock, for Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.